There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Oh. Mormon alert!
That's right. We have a full-on white Mormon alert!
Mormon alert!
You know, as much as we've talked about Mormons on this show, I still feel like I know nothing.
But that's why, slowly but surely, we're educating you. Welcome to Side Stories. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson, who is immune to the charms of the Mormon Church.
I don't like him.
He can't be bought by them. It doesn't matter.
Fuck soda.
Seriously. He doesn't like soda. He can't have it anymore.
Yeah, seltzer's I'm all seltzer now.
Yeah, he can't even do it.
I don't want your syrups. I don't want your ice cream.
But
you know?
We like coffee.
I love coffee.
And that's the thing. That's what's nice to do it in defiance of them. My name is Henry Zabrowski. I am the opposite of a Mormon. But today
total opposite. You're still
white.
You're still white.
Yeah, I'm still a white man.
Yeah.
So that's still pretty, honestly, pretty great for me. And today we're doing a full guest episode because I met this person through Natalie as they were doing Someplace Underneath. They are an expert because they were deeply involved in the Mormon Church. Mm-hmm. They got themselves out of the Mormon Church. She went and wrote a book called How to Leave the Mormon Church, which is it's a great manual for helping people. Because what she realized, this influencer, I'd say influencer, presenter, she has a YouTube channel, Alyssa Grenfell, but she realized that Mormons were coming out of the church and being dropped into this modern world with no guide at all. So that's why she wrote this, to help people get out of the Mormon church. We talked with her about a bunch of the secrets. She brought some Mormon underwear in here.
Yeah. I didn't know it was a thing.
Man, it's kind of sexy.
What do you mean it's sexy?
If you get all wet.
Oh, yes, because it's white.
Then you get
see through it.
We go through all of this. The audience is going to love how sexual the conversation gets. I do. I tried some other. You're going to see. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
She is Alyssa D. Grenfell on TikTok. That's AlyssaDGrenfell. That's where she prints her stuff. She's also on YouTube.
That's right. How to Leave the Mormon Church is way more difficult than just follow the sign that says exit.
Yeah, because guess what? They cover the signs.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Can't get out. So please listen to our long form interview of Alyssa Grenfell.
You're going to enjoy this.
You fucking better.
Live from your grave.
Oh, we're rolling. Oh, great.
Okay.
Well, we have a very special guest today. Somebody that is like truly in the world of, in the world of religions, right? There's not a lot of room for talk back, right? They don't want you to do it. And it's fine. I find it interesting that of all the religions, besides Scientology, if you want to call it that, that has such a deep core of people willing to talk about the church, it is the Mormon people, like especially after the fact, even from within it, as we were just talking. And what we have today is a truly very, very smart lady. Love this book, which is How to Leave the Mormon Church. And it is an extremely interesting book. I love the fact that you focus on actual practical things that people need. And we'll get into all of that. You also have a YouTube channel that is just under your name, right? Alyssa Grenfell.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here with author, host, ex-mo, Alyssa Grenfell.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm also here with Ed Larson. He's sitting right here.
How you doing? Yeah, no, I'm basically just hanging out. This is a conversation between you two, and I'm just here to make sure Henry doesn't attack you.
No, I'll never do that. I love Mormanity. I love the Mormanity of it all.
So if you're an ex-mo, do you know any ex Larry or Curly's?
Don't do. I'm sorry, Alyssa. Do you want to leave?
I feel like I'm the butt of an inside joke or something. I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's the Three Stooges. I'm too old.
Oh,
I'm
he Mormon?
No. He's a Larry, Curly, and Mo.
You literally sandbagged the whole thing at the very fucking top.
Hey, I think it's good. I'm an escaped Catholic.
Okay.
You know, I was an escaped Catholic. I went to Catholic school for a while, and I got out of there just as it started getting hairy. And now I'm what are you now? What would you call yourself now?
I'm an atheist.
Hell yeah.
Full on.
Isn't it
hardcore.
True? We're number three now, atheists in America?
If you call it a group, it's getting there.
Or ex-religious or secular. Yeah, a lot of people don't like to claim atheism.
Because they're assholes.
Very unpopular.
Yeah. Most atheists are pricks.
They can be. But mostly just because they're mad at fake God like we all are. Now, when you got out, you've been out for long? Well, like 5 years now,
10
right?
years.
Fully yeah. 10 years.
Yeah, all right, good.
How long was it from the first thought of getting out to getting out?
You know, it's really hard because you have so many thoughts about getting out, but you suppress them so hard that kind of once I was willing to admit it to myself, mm-hmm. I feel like I'd kind of questioned my whole life.
Sure.
But it was probably not till I was about 23 till I was like allowing myself to be honest about it.
Fuck yeah. Good for you.
Do you know like what was the big thing? Like what was the straw that broke the camel's back? I know you've talked about how it was obviously a long process of just being a lady in the Mormon church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it just that, like, what was the final?
Yeah, my questioning really started with not believing in God versus not believing in the Mormon church.
Yeah.
So it kind of was like taking it all the way to the bottom. And then once I stopped believing in God, then it was like, well, fuck Joseph Smith, you know, like.
Of course. Yeah.
Because he's talking about God. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I just happened.
Might as well believe in Zeus.
Oh, very much so. I just had I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with this horrific fucker named Nathan Larson who killed himself.
Hey, careful.
I'm sorry. You know, it's same, spelled the same way too. and he put up Joseph Smith. He wrote this manifesto, and he put up Joseph Smith as like one of the heroes of white supremacy. He said in his manifesto he was celebrating Joseph Smith because of how hateful he was and how he was going to try to change the United States government to be more like the Mormon church.
Yeah, Joseph Smith tried to run for president. I mean, and he basically, the reason that the Mormons kept getting kicked out everywhere they went was because they would try to consolidate political power and because of the child brides.
The child brides in the end, that always seemed to be like, and also the child brides.
It kind of rises to the top, but.
It doesn't, though, unfortunately. I feel like it's always the very, it's all just like, huh. They're trying to fuck with the voting systems and taxes. And sometimes they have sex with a child. That's fine. But it's really just the taxes.
Yeah, it's really the governmental power. The reason they kept getting kicked out is because he kept trying to make himself the leader of the militia and the leader of the town and the leader of the bank. And like literally every position of power was unilaterally held by Joseph Smith.
Sounds like a fake name. Sounds like he just made up the name. He's like, I'm Joe Smith.
He's a grifter. He's a grifter and a grave robber. Do we see that same thing now? Like in the end of like, how different is the modern Mormon church to the old Mormon church?
I mean, there's a ton, at least on the governmental level, if you go to Utah, you'll feel like it's the same because both the senators, all of the Congress people and the governor are all still Mormon.
Yes.
So it's like still a theocracy. And a lot of the laws are still controlled by Mormon, you know, temperance, basically. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they don't allow publicly, at least, the child brides anymore. Yeah. So,
yes.
Or polygamy, though they still do believe in polygamy. So,
how does that work? Like, it's all
you
the
get
books.
More than one wife.
Yeah, I know. It sounds hard. But my question is how does it work? How is the, well, we believe in it, but we don't practice it work?
So basically, they had to give it up to become part of the United States when they were just a territory. And now it's still in the scripture. So in the Doctrine and Covenants, it still says polygamy is A-okay. It's basically like we believe in it, but because the laws of the land prohibit it, we honor and sustain the laws of the land. Which is why after they banned it in Utah, they set up colonies in Canada and Mexico to keep doing polygamy, which is where Mitt Romney is from.
Oh! he seems Mexican. There's something about him.
Yeah, fair. I don't know if I see it.
No, I just something. It's his hardworking, honest.
Now, as far as horrible sons of bitches go, Mitt Romney seems like he's almost fine. Is that true? Am I completely off base by thinking that?
Yeah, the political spectrum of Mormon men, Mitt Romney is on the better side of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how much is that their new savviness of the 2020s versus an actual, like, belief system? Like, in your mind, because the Mormon church, I think they're savvy. They're weirdly, like...
They're very adaptive.
Yes, they understand.
They'd rather adapt than stick to their guns, which is why, you know, polygamy, they got rid of the black ban from black people holding the priesthood.
Yeah.
They get rid of stuff all the time to modernize.
And then in these days, so, but, like, then how do they rectify it with it? Now, like, when they talk to you guys about the old, like the old days, like, how do they frame it? Like, do they frame, like, when they make those big sweeping changes, like, what is it they say from the inside?
Yeah, it's a doctrine called continuing revelation.
Okay.
That says that the current prophet can override and give new revelation versus, like, the previous prophets. So it's not that the old prophet was wrong so much as that the new prophet has new information, basically.
Ah, yes. And now he's now that he's refining the science.
Yes.
Like L. Ron Hubbard, he's refining it.
So, all right. So the end of the world, how many people? 130,000 people?
That's
the number?
That's Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, it's Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, isn't it in Mormonism? It is the same number. They use the number. But isn't that number supposed to be, like, the idea that that's the amount of Mormons that will be left to lead the end world, like the 140,000?
You know, they do believe in the Book of Revelation, but I didn't really grow up hearing that number. Ever.
Okay.
So,
really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if you were to go back, and maybe this is just, like, the continuing revelation of it all, that I never heard this, mm-hmm. because if I talk to a woman or anyone who was Mormon who is, like, 50 or, like, you know, older than me, they'll give me all this random doctrine that I'm like, fuck, I never heard that. So... there's a I can't deny that that might be a thing because it's changed so much. And they used to have a lot more, like, crazy end times doctrine that they would teach that they've kind of moved away from.
As a whole, because, like, someone said that when we were doing the Chad Daybell, Lori Vallos, like, series, they said that you'd find that within every Mormon enclave, there's, like, a couple of crazy people.
Definitely. Yeah, more than a couple.
Do you have an example of that?
Yeah, like, I have moved around a lot, but I used to live in Montana. And I feel like in my congregation in Montana, it was very preppery.
Yeah.
Tons of, like, really obsessed with guns, really obsessed with food storage.
Well, it's a part, isn't it a tenet of the religion, too, to prep?
Yeah, and that's why people are so confused by Mormonism or Mormons, like, meeting Mormons, because you can meet, like, a Botox Mormon who is, like, a lady with a boob job, and they all want to have a pool and a boat. And then in the same ward congregation, there's, like, the prepper Mormon who they don't let their kids wear makeup, or, like, they, you know.
Yeah, you could say that inside of a Catholic church as well.
Yeah, it's like what part they fixate on.
But with Catholic church, it's like, all the social stuff is supposed to kind of be to the side. Mm-hmm. You only get involved because you're forced to by all the guilt of the societal, like, pressing on you.
You know, I agree, but I also want a bunker.
Of course. Yeah, bunkers should not be. Bunkers should not just be for the corrupt.
Yeah, no, I mean, the end of the world is coming. So.
Yeah.
What can I ask?
Where else am I going to play poker with my dogs?
Gabby, I don't know. You got to teach you how to be like, that's not how you bluff. That's not how you fucking bluff. Every time you get a good hand, I shoot a tail wagon.
Live from your
grave. Why does the Mormon church save all this money for the end of the world?
You know, Jesus really loves USD.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because Jesus came to America.
I guess. Yeah. So the Mormon church is holding on to something like $100 billion.
More, yeah. It's like 300 probably.
And they say, and they use it in their funny little Mormon way. They say those little terms and phrases, and they said it was for a rainy day.
Yeah, it's our rainy day fund.
Now, is that because of Noah? Is that like a something to do with Noah?
But what does a rainy day mean?
You know, I do. In Mormonism, and every religion seems to have, like, different interpretations of the end times. Mormonism, the belief is that Jesus will renew the earth and things are going to be really good. But before they're really good, like, shit's going to hit the fan.
Tribulations.
So my guess in their mind is they're saving it for the tribulations. Like, there's another prophecy that at some point the Constitution will hang by a thread. This is from Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
And that the Mormon people will step in and save the Constitution and save, like, God in America or whatever.
What are they going to do if money isn't real anymore? It's the end of the world.
Going to be hard. But do you feel like that's what I've heard, right? So that's like a dog whistle,
mm-hmm.
right? The hanging by a thread term. Like, there was some press, somebody used it. I forgot who it was. I think it was
probably Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
Yes.
Like, that's the type of Mormonism they were really into.
Because it seems that her father, Lori Vallow's father, was a heavy prepper, and he said the same thing. Like, apparently they started hardcore when some guy in the government said hanging by a thread on television, and then he said, we're ready to go. That's the Mormon signal.
Yeah. Yeah, I found this. There's this YouTuber that is like a Mormon prepper, and he has this spreadsheet, this Google Sheets thing with like, it has like 200 tabs. And in each tab, they're basically tracking all of the metrics that Mormon leaders have said are like signs of the end of the world. And every time I've gone back to it like so many times, and there's always like, you know how you can see how many editors there are? There's always like unlimited editors.
Oh,
like,
So basically the religion's just becoming what the people say it is.
Yeah, at least like the church could very well like tamp down on this like kind of extremist sect or like branch.
Well, those are the people that give the most money.
Well, no, though, because unfortunately in the Mormon church, like the theology has a built-in sort of franchisee like thing where if you make a strong enough claim to be your own prophet, you can spin your own church off the main Mormon body, and it's still Mormon, capital M Mormon.
Mormonism. Yeah. Like, I mean, Chad Daybell is an example of that. The Lafferty's, Warren Jeffs, FLDS, like most of these sects, there's one called the Order. I mean, there's some that are polygamous, some that are, you know, some that are like three people, some that are 100. Like Mormonism, because it's built on prophets, it's very easy to claim prophetic authority.
Yeah, right.
Because you just say it.
Because it's, to me, kind of feels like joking, but like it kind of feels like when you bluff in poker, where it's about timing. It's about like, okay, like, what's his name from, trust me, I just watched a documentary series about
Sam Bateman.
And it seems it's like, okay, it's like he like waited for a little bit. And they're like,
yeah, wait for the power vacuum.
And then you're like, I'm the prophet now. And then, like, you just have to wait properly.
Yeah, and wait till people are kind of like, what do we do next? Or like, you know, or if the, like, the FLDS, the reason they became, like, more well-known is because everybody, Wilford Woodruff is the one that said, we're not doing polygamy anymore. And then they were like, well, that's a sign he's a fallen prophet.
Sure.
Mm. So they wait till there's like a fallen prophet moment. And then some new dude is like charismatic and just like, oh, me, it's me now.
So the leaders just basically call it. Like, I call it. I'm it. I'm the guy.
It does seem like it.
Yeah.
And when they're setting up that family, like, what exactly is the benefit of being a sister wife? What is it? Besides just getting all that fucking primo dick.
Jesus Christ.
All that
your
delicious,
wife came
delicious.
In here and told you to be nice to her.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Natalie came down and she said, be nice to her.
I'm being extremely nice. I'm just saying, we all can imagine just getting that, ooh, Sam Bateman's delicious tiny hands.
God. With his just, white leather jacket.
Mm, ooh, God, he's cool.
He's so disgusting.
God, he's so cool and he's so fast.
But he's got all those. I mean, he has like 7 Bentleys. It's like clearly, you know, he figured out something. Like,
well, you know, he's just taking money from them.
Yeah, he's figured out how to manipulate people. But I mean, from a sister wife perspective, I do feel like if someone tells you your salvation is dependent on doing fucking anything, if you believe them, you'll do whatever. Like, I mean, that's like the premise of cults. So I think the sister wife thing is the same, where it's like, they're born into it, they believe it fully, and they believe that if they don't, that they're going to hell.
You ever try to get someone out, like explain to them, listen, this is all wrong, I'm out, my life's so much better now?
Yeah, to Mormons, yes, but not to FLDS or like polygamous people. They don't even talk to you.
Okay.
I mean, that Trust Me documentary was so fascinating, watching her slow, like having to literally deprogram them to even get them to the point where they're even willing to acknowledge that I don't want to be raped anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, especially the scene where they're in the car, the two girls trying to get Sam Bateman out of jail, and they're like, I have never been happier in my entire life. This is exactly where I want to be. And we're basically actually celebrities. I believe that I, like they're saying, I believe that I am the most important person on the planet right now. Mm. Like he thinks that the, you know, Queen of England is going to come hang out with them. Like
that shit's so funny. Well, that's a part of like, and I've said this, you're lovely, but I've said this even before about the Mormon ego. There's like almost this feeling of that because it's like he does play on that for them, isn't it? Like I realize that they like the feeling,
the first wife feeling,
they're or powerful,
the chosen wife feeling, yeah.
You know, because they're a part of a new cool, basically the new hip Mormon school.
Yeah, like if you walk out, you know, if you walk out in a, like I think that's the like being able to like rise up in a cult. Or in a religion is like a power trip because you're like, look at how excellent I am because I'm already in the truest religion on earth.
Yeah.
And now I'm in high leadership in the truest religion on the, you know.
Because there are people like you where you were so nervous. It made felt like this burden, like the need to be a perfect Mormon to you seemed like feel like this tremendous burden. And it seems it's those that think, oh, actually, this makes me closer to God. I like this. It serves another purpose.
Yeah, and I think I had probably both experiences, like both emotional experiences at different points.
Yeah.
Where, like, I went on a mission.
Where'd you go?
To fucking Colorado.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. That's good.
My husband went to Sweden, so.
Yeah, that's cool. But don't they, isn't there like a thing with where you go? Isn't there like an insinuation, kind of like not anything? Like they kind of tell you, like,
they tell you it's special, but it's a ping pong ball out of a fucking thing.
But no, it's like my buddy Don was Mormon growing up. He definitely, but he, because he could speak Spanish fluently, they sent him to South America.
You submit a whole application, and if you had like. Say that I had a parent who served in a certain place, they might be like, oh, we'll send you to that same place. Or if you learn Japanese in high school, okay, we'll send you to Japan. Okay. Or often it is like literally just racial profiling. Like if you are black and you are living in America, they'll send you to Africa. Because you'll have an easier time converting people because you look like the people. So Asian Mormons, they'll send to Asia. Even if they're like,
as white, American as
like
they
basically
can be.
Still just from America, from Utah.
But Christianity has taken over Africa, and like it's not like it was definitely white people who did that.
Yeah,
Dutch,
true.
The Dutch, and now the Chinese are turning it into a gigantic cobalt mine.
They'll pair someone who is of the ethnicity of the country with a white person.
Interesting.
So it like gets them almost into the door, but then also introduces like this cool American religion.
If you told me you were from Colorado, I believe you.
Yeah.
Or Utah. I mean,
you have a Colorado vibe, but that's better than a Utah vibe.
I'll take it's the nose ring.
It is. Yeah.
Could you ski? Is that why they sent you? They're like, she'll be great on the slopes.
She loves going down.
No. So the reason I think I was sent to Colorado is because I disclosed mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And if you disclose mental health issues, you're seen almost like as a flight risk where they don't want to waste a ticket to Europe on you.
Oh.
And maybe you'll be sent home early.
Fascinating.
So, I mean, this is like, most of this is like what people, you know.
Assume.
Like the word on the street, you know, there's no handbook that says
this. By the
way, but
they were right.
Yeah, they definitely
they nailed it. Yeah.
So... if I had not disclosed that, or like another funny thing is only women are in the Temple Square mission in Utah because it's like a honeypot situation.
Yes.
So if you go walk through Temple Square, you'll only see like very beautiful young women.
I noticed that. It's like very beautiful, like blonde, blue eyed.
None of
like
the
children.
Elders.
Yeah.
They don't let the stinky boys go
over
there.
No, because I hate the boys. The boys are gross.
Yep, most people feel that way.
Elders are always walking around with backpacks on.
And they just got done biking.
Always. I have this idea. This happened to me the other day. They came to my door, Alyssa. It took all of my strength to not heretic them. Because like our home, as you can imagine.
Filled with devils.
Our whole home is filled with devils.
Devil. Yeah.
Just devils all over. I just want to be like, yes.
Come inside.
Excellent. Yes, here we go. Enjoy. Yeah. Have a cup of coffee. Is there anything you miss?
The book.
The Book of Mormon? Yeah. I did bring one.
Oh, thanks.
Nice. Did you steal it from a hotel?
Yeah, good.
No, this is my... Well, did I bring it? Okay, here it is.
I wanted to give this to you.
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
I wrote my testimony in the front. Just kidding.
Oh, my fucking God. Yeah.
This was all an elaborate ruse. I'm still Mormon.
Yeah. And he's like, wow, you got me. I'm in. That's
that's the most effective sales pitch I've ever seen.
Honestly, but is there anything you're like, ah, oh, fuck, like
that I miss? You know, I think mostly, when you leave a religion like the Mormon Church, you're never going to be able to like replicate the sense of community because I'm kind of an orphan now from like, I'll never be able to be as integrated into a social group as I was into the Mormon, like Mormon Church.
I'm an atheist. I think you're great.
Well, family hates me now. So yeah, I mean,
you know, fuck them.
They probably would have anyway.
I miss my family.
Here's the thing. If you would have stayed, they still would have hated you, but they would have been currently abusing you as well.
Yep.
And so like, they would just have disguised it as love.
Yeah.
And so you made the right choice.
Very conditional love. But like when you know, I mean, I still miss, like, I wish I could still walk into a room and say what I'm feeling around my family.
Yeah.
You know, not that I ever, like, fully could, but I felt like I could at least more than I do now.
When was the last time you talked to him?
Like a month ago.
Okay.
It's very cordial. We don't, and, you know, I know that they hate that I'm doing all of this, and especially I brought the temple clothes today.
So. Oh no, we're good. I want to try some on.
That's the most heretical thing I do. So I think that specifically is what has made them the most frustrated.
Yeah. They gotta see it though. Like it's for like honestly, we're fucking curious. Sorry, the rest of us are super fucking curious. You don't have secret underwear then. Yeah. If you don't want me to know about it, then don't have
it. Yeah,
just call it underwear.
Yep.
As soon as you say secret underwear,
now
I'm
definitely
like,
thinking about it. What was like, would you say, the biggest cultural like hurdles you hit when you left? Like, what was the hardest part to kind of like, that's why I loved what you did with your book. I love the fact that you helped kind of be like, here's a couple of things that help you not be as weird when you get into public, like when you get out amongst us.
I would say like Mormonism gives you so many rules that then when you leave, this is a big problem with a lot of ex-Mormons, is it's like feels like there's no rules. So I would say like trying to adapt to, okay, I want to try drinking, but I literally have no context for this. I haven't grown up seeing drinking in movies even. I haven't seen my parents do it. Like, whether it's that or any other substances, immodesty, or like, you know, I never wore a tank top before. Like, it's like...
that's wild, too. That's immodest, right? Like, it's any inch of skin.
Yeah, any showing your shoulders, short shorts. Like, so I think like, figuring out the balance between like doing what always feels very radical, like drinking coffee feels very radical.
But is the Celsius allowed?
No. Well, so it is now because they kind of got rid of the caffeine rule. But when I was a kid, I couldn't have caffeine.
Yes, this is one of the big changes because Rob brought this up before the show, is with the dirty sodas.
Yes.
And that was what Eddie
What's
was very...
What's a dirty soda?
Eddie wanted to know what a dirty soda was.
I want one!
You don't think you do? Alyssa, can you describe to him what a dirty soda is?
It sounds kind of gross, but it's basically... And Sonic has already been doing stuff like this, so it's kind of a ripoff of Sonic, but...
aren't they kind of a Mormon company?
So, am I wrong? Sonic?
Yeah.
I don't think Sonic is.
All right, yeah,
but
I'm sorry.
Swig,
I don't know why I thought that.
Swig is the main dirty soda company, but it's usually like any soda with like a creamer, so they'll put like half and half into their soda, or coffee creamer.
It's so gross.
Sounds good.
It's not Eddie, it's
Or like they'll do like the pumps of the Italian soda pumps type stuff, like... any mix-in, and then,
that
like, lime, or...
That's how vanilla Coke got invented.
Dude, you should try it. It's so sweet. It's so gross.
It's like vanilla ice cream, sometimes, in your soda, kind of.
That's cool. That's a float.
That's a root beer float.
These are all products.
I mean, it
depends. I'm saying, it's gross.
I feel like that it, like, gives me a stomachache, but I'm also not, like, a huge soda drinker, so, I mean...
It's not as bad as, like, a rum and Coke.
Well,
still not, it's not that dirty.
I prefer a Roman Coke.
I prefer a Roman Coke, too.
Do you find that now, like, that the world seems to kind of be cracking open about Mormonism and understanding, like, aren't they having a hard time keeping people in?
So, apparently, from a recent study, I think, I've heard different stats, but I've heard 40% of people my age and younger leave. I've heard 50%. it's hard to know because, like,
they have to be hitting on a young person problem.
Of course.
I think they definitely are. And
they don't want to do anything.
There's a subreddit called Mormon Shrivel that has, like, every time a church building goes up for sale, people post it on there. And, yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're shrinking, and maybe that's why they are now changing other rules. Like, they changed the rule about tattoos and piercings.
Yeah.
So you fucking weak, bitches! You're so fucking weak!
Well, they stopped getting their money, dude. They stopped getting their fucking income, so they gotta bend some rules.
Fucking Catholic Church doesn't give a fuck. Yeah, Pope Leo, he's talking about anti-AI, but he still hates gay people, and he doesn't give a fuck. That's a fucking, that's a cult with a spine.
Yeah. That's where they need to get going.
But, like, yeah, that must be, because it's really kind of all zipping out now. And it's like, so this actually probably puts us into a really fun, good way to start this, which is, I find it interesting that your parents think that you talking about the temple garments is the most, like, horrific thing that you do. Why?
Because the temple is, like, the most secretive part of Mormonism. I know that probably for, you know, you all, like, you just Google it and you'd see the things online and you'd be like, oh, that's what it is. But, like, for within the religion, or, like, it feels like a cult when you start talking about the temple, it's, like, a very well-protected secret. Like, I didn't know anything about the temple until I went through it myself. And I would even have you know, friends in high school, because I grew up outside of Utah, they'd be like, watch this YouTube video. And I'd be like, that's sacred. Like, so whether it's like the secret handshakes or the apron or like the words that, you know, the secret words that you learn.
Yeah, there's like certain things you have to say.
Like a passcode.
Yeah, and there's like doesn't somebody stick like their hand through the curtain and then you go through the whole thing. And you did the whole thing, right?
It must be the most boring secret handshake of all time.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's I wish like it was like some like...
You guys hold pancakes?
Can you tell me what it is?
There are four handshakes.
What's the first handshake?
So the first handshake...
Give it to Eddie.
Okay, the first handshake is you both put your thumb on the, like the, yeah, right there. Okay, so like right on the knuckle.
Okay.
Okay, right, so that's the
first
one.
And then the second one is the valley of the knuckle.
What I normally call that the vagina of the knuckle. Hey. Continue, I'm just saying.
And then the next one, you would go like this.
Okay.
And I would do that to you.
Well, okay, ooh, then you nice. Pinch the hand.
No,
well, that's we do. Me and Julie, we do that to each other. We squeeze this little meat right here. It feels good.
It is really nice. Where did all that shit fucking? I know that everything was stolen from masonry and all that kind of stuff. Do they?
But we didn't. Oh, we didn't do the most fun hand.
Oh, no, please.
The fourth one, you do that with your pinkies. And then do this, and then like that.
And what, like tickle?
You know, well, no, you don't tickle. But yeah, like that.
This one's actually kind of cool.
That's the patriarchal grip.
I feel like, you know,
we're going to start
holding you off a mountain.
Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I want to do that with you. Yeah.
Go ahead. All right, so we're going to do this in here, and then you put this here, and there we go. There you go.
That's awesome. That feels like
you're
fun.
You're getting in.
Yeah. No, actually, I make me feel strong.
I do feel masculine. It feels gender edifying. When we do that, though, like, what do they tell you that is?
So it's in the temple, they say it's the signs and tokens that you will present to the angels who stand as sentinels in the celestial kingdom.
Got it.
The highest level of heaven.
Which is interesting because it's very similar to what the Buddhists do with the bardo, with this idea of like physicalizing this idea of you have to, there's certain steps you're going to have to go through in order to get through. And it's very like one to one. It's not allegorical.
Man.
It is the thing you're gonna meet an angel, and so that's what they're saying, right? Is that when you die, this is gonna be the same setup, but it's gonna be in heaven.
Yes, and there's also there's the handshakes, and then there's the words you have to know. So I like got a new, it's called a new name, which
Plato,
a lot of
Virata,
religions.
Nicto.
Yeah, is it like?
I wish there was some Latin. That would be kind of fun.
Is it just made up? Is it names or is it actual made up words?
So it's names from the Bible, which is. You're good. Which is so funny because they're supposed to be from the Bible, but there's like way more men in the Bible than women.
Yeah.
So
great book.
Men. So the men's names are all things like Adam or Michael, like these like you know, awesome, like the very main characters of the Bible, and the women will be like Abish. Like
Esterman. You know, like, yeah, it's all bad names. Yeah,
Grimlock. You know Grimlock, right?
And when you went through it, did you feel anything?
Mostly afraid.
Yeah.
because it gets built up so much in your mind as like literally the most important thing that will ever happen to you.
Yeah.
You're endowed with power on high. And after you go through the ceremony and you get past the angels, that's like the ceremony that is basically your pre-entrance ceremony to becoming a god.
Fascinating.
So,
and then what do you do after that? You go like get hamburgers and stuff? Yeah. Like, you go do all this and you say like, okay, you just became a god. Let's go to McDonald's.
It's more like a god in utero.
Got it. And then you just go off and live a life.
Yeah, I mean, then you are supposed to keep your covenants, so you make all these promises in the temple, your covenants, and then the rest of your life is kind of the test to prove you can keep the temple covenants. And you used to have to promise to kill yourself if you... Yeah, that's... I mean, I didn't have to promise to kill myself. But.
See, you got out. Yeah, and that's
which
where,
is why I can talk about it.
That's why we got their fucking asses in a fucking sling. God, you're fucking... Got you, God. I got you, fucking God.
Man, I can't believe there's levels to heaven. Go fuck yourself.
I know.
Like, are you saying if I die poor, you probably... You don't... Is it based on money?
It's
it was
not,
gold,
no.
Platinum, diamond.
It's not socioeconomic... Yeah, it's not based on, like, your net worth at the time of death.
But they do like a rich Mormon.
They love a rich Mormon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they are always the ones who get, like, promoted into the higher levels of leadership. But, yeah, we would go to the celestial kingdom because you guys are atheists.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
he's Satanist. Even worse.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, so there's...
Change me! Try to fix me!
So even Satanists would still go to the same level.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, I wish there was a better, cooler level for you for being a Satanist.
No, I like... Honestly, it's be hell in and of itself. Don't bring me to Mormon heaven. I don't want to go. So...
Salt Lake City was nice.
Salt Lake City's fine.
Well, Salt Lake, too, is so weird because you have the church HQ, but that's also, like, the most secular city in Utah. So yes. There's, like, a huge counterculture where you can go. There's, like, this barbershop where they have the temple symbols on the barbershop is, like, the logo, which is also, like, very heretical. But, oh, like, yeah. There's a lot of, like, temple middle fingers around or, like...
Everywhere.
A bar called Water Witch, which is, like, what Joseph Smith was. So
SLC has got... The single of all of the places I've been to, one of the most intense alt scenes I have.
Oh yeah,
ever
our
witnessed.
Fan base is hilarious out there.
That's because the ex-Mormon thing. Because like you know, it's like the pendulum. You kind of become like more. You're like, let me go the opposite direction. I'm gonna do all the drugs. We need all the tattoos.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a Satanist and awesome. Fuck all of this.
It's
yeah.
So much fun. You guys are great.
Live from your grave.
Okay, so we're here. You have brought. Some temple garments.
Yes.
I'd love to at least look at them.
Okay.
Because the only time I've ever seen them is in... I'm going to be uncouth here, okay? There's a series of documentary films.
Turning on?
Yes. There's a series of documentary films on the internet called Mormon Girls with a Z.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Now, that is the only way I've seen these before. So please, let's unsex these for me.
Impossible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, because that's the thing is that they seem kind of like... Like, they are very lacy.
Okay.
Now,
how
so
often do you wear them? Yeah, how often do you wear these?
This is like a Mormon burqa.
Mostly just, okay, so here's the, I have here the underwear and the temple robes. Kind of separate things.
Okay.
But this is the underwear.
All right, so now the underwear, for those of you who don't know, they're not watching this, I will describe it. I have one pair of boxer briefs that are like this. It's a long-legged boxer brief.
I like a long-legged boxer brief.
I don't. They ride up.
They do.
Well, yeah. Sometimes it's like nice because you don't have the thigh chafing.
I guess that's true. Now, does that go on with no underwear with that on?
Correct.
So that's first layer.
So this is your bottom underwear.
It is a little loose.
As a man.
Man and woman.
Oh, so
yeah,
women
these are
also
for
have the same.
Yes.
You don't have little panties.
These
ones.
Are women's so, underwear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So men and women wear the same underwear.
Basically.
So women
yeah.
aren't wearing underwear.
They are.
They're wearing this as underwear. Not,
yeah, I guess, yes.
They're not wearing panties.
It's almost like
yes.
a Spanx thing. Like, you know,
oh, nice.
But also, so then they also have the symbols. So if you see, they have like that little stitch there.
Yes.
That's part of the temple ceremony.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So, and then they come in different like fabrics too.
So, but they're always white.
Yes.
They're always white. Now,
gotta hit that H.
I'll put it on the clown's face.
What? Yeah, what? My question is what does one do with, I'm going to say the Mormon men. From what I've seen, I'm just going to make a call. I think they're a skid marked group of men. I think that there was a group of men.
It's a lot of fast food.
I feel like if there was a group of men that would leave skid marks, it would be the Mormon men. How are we getting these stains out?
I'm going to say the Baptists are worse.
Can you speak to experience?
I can't speak to the experience of if Mormon men generally get skid marks.
Because yeah. It has to be a thing. That definitely, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Yeah. That has to be a fucking
thing. I'm afraid
thing.
We're going to have to get a new Mormon expert.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might need a dude for that one.
No way. He's wiping right.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to that. I can't speak to being a sister wife. Yeah. I'm not being very helpful.
And so, Wilson, so they got the men.
So this is the top.
So you wear this every day.
Every day, day and night.
Under your clothes.
Under your clothes. Yes. Now, when you wear these as well, like, do you have to, how many pairs of these do you have?
And same as normal underwear.
Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you
change it every day.
So it's not like you can only have one set.
No, it's not disgusting. No,
that would be hilarious.
I just thought it was just like one set. And then you just wear that forever until it falls off like it's a Hell's Angels leathers.
They're clean, people.
Do you want to try to put one of them on?
Yes, of course.
It might be a little small.
I'm
going to
step out.
For women.
Step out. I'm going to come right back. Please banter amongst yourselves.
No, actually, I do have a question about what's going on in the Mormon community right now.
Okay.
The head dude, the old guy, he just died.
Yes.
What's his name?
Nelson. President Nelson.
So who replaced him? Do you know?
Oakes. Yeah. President Oakes.
So what's his deal?
He's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Or he is a lawyer by trade. So that's why John Dolan is getting sued, in my opinion, because basically he's like taking over. You know, the prophet basically gets to take over the reins for the church. So I think Nelson was a little softer.
Okay.
Still not that, but like...
Physically, too. He was very old.
Yeah, they're all so old,
wow,
too.
This is very sexy. This is great.
But honestly, think that
God, I can see your hair through it. Yeah, that is crazy.
Do you want the bottoms?
Maybe the bottoms are going to have to stay over your pants.
I'll put them on my underwear. Yeah. Don't make them your underwear.
Nothing. Yeah, go for it.
Let me just. I see through this. I don't. He's going to come in with his
over your pants. Over your
underpants. Yes. I don't want to. Yes. She doesn't need to see his penis. Yeah. No. This is like. Come on.
Yeah, I usually just put them on over my clothes, but he's going hard.
So no bras in the Mormon community.
So yes, can wear, you still wear a bra,
okay.
But like you're supposed to wear basically under the garment. Or like,
okay. Yeah, or
over the garment.
Oh my
so
God.
The garments are as close to your skin as possible.
See, like, to be honest,
it is
nice. It's very form-fitting. I do feel like with a lot of
I don't know if it's supposed to be.
Yeah, they are women's underwear.
Are they supposed to be loose?
Are these yours?
Yeah, so those are... Well, no, those are new... it's a new pair, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my...
So I can really blow through these.
Yeah, you're welcome to.
I can really
They're not... Yeah, those are like fresh out of the bag.
Now, how do you order them?
You can't. And now, since I took my name off the rolls, I can't. But
really?
You have to have the special recommend.
Oh, wow. So this is a collector's item.
It really is. People go, because of the sex thing, the girls gone wild, I do think people will, like, try to buy them online because it's, like, a kink.
Wow. What do you mean? This is kind of, it's form-fitting. I feel like that I could, you know, a lot of the Mormon guys could use a little bit more support, and I think that this is kind of nice for them. This is actually kind of comfortable.
Okay, yeah.
They're really nice. They're very soft.
Yeah.
And what is that one?
Okay, so basically, as part of the temple ceremony, you would first receive your underwear and your new name.
So you get it that day.
You get it that day. So it's all happening to you at once.
Is that when you turn 8?
No, that's your baptism.
That's the baptism.
So usually endowment is after 18.
Got it.
It's like 18 to 25.
Because you have to really choose.
Yeah, you have to opt in. Well, yeah, basically, you get interviewed. And you have to, like, pass all their questions and stuff to get the temple recommend.
Yes.
And you have to do that for baptism. You get an interview, and then you have a separate interview for the temple, and then you have an interview to get married in the church. So it's, like, yeah, constant.
So confused. So what is this thing? So you get the underwear.
So once you get the underwear, that's called the washing and anointing ceremony. You get the new underwear and the new name, and blah, blah. And then you go into the endowment, which is like the main ceremony. I don't. You can wear this dress if you want.
I mean, I don't know. Is that one yours too? Is that one also yours?
This one is my dress. So.
Wow. Okay. So they put that on you. And then that's
like
how you walk
communion
through.
Dress.
I bet this would fit you because see the it's
holy.
A very... thing,
what I had to get when I got my confirmation, I had to go to the Husky section.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Love
I'm not going to fit this.
No.
Oh no. I will destroy this.
Well, maybe.
Oh, no, you're a tiny woman.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's kind of big on me, but
I'm pretty thick right now. You know, so... creatine. I work out.
I think if Henry put it on, it would explode.
Should I put it on?
Yeah, sure.
We can have.
If it makes
man,
you happy.
I honestly feel like I look good in this.
Yeah, I can see. Honestly, gold chain. I feel like this is like borderline like Italian man on vacation.
Oh, get the chains out so it's over the thing.
Yeah.
Put your LeVay.
Oh my lord.
It gets your Satan chains
get
out.
My Satan chains out. This is like really nice. I miss the 1920s.
You're welcome to have it.
This is like a sleepover.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you want it back.
I have a lot of backups. Okay, so...
So is this going out or is this sleeping?
This is for just the endowment ceremony.
So this is just to...
So
for the endowment
Alyssa
ceremony.
Is wearing a beautiful lace dress with... It's got some mother of pearl beads on it. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, you're dressing like a bride.
It's kind of, but you would do this all the time in the temple.
Whoa,
for every
I love
ceremony.
The over-the-shoulder lace. Very Greek.
Yes, yeah, this is weird.
Very like Aristotelian. Like, that's the thing, right? It feels very
and it
Greek.
Is, it's almost like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of stolen.
Can you talk to the AA?
It's kind of stolen from masonry, but
it's
also
stolen from masonry.
With Joseph Smith's little spin.
Oh my God, they have a leaf thing over the crotch?
Yeah, that's just like you're in the
Adam
and Eve, yep.
That's
crazy. Yeah, just make sure that nobody sees anything.
Do y'all believe in Adam and Eve?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Adam and Eve were the first Mormons.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, the very first Mormons.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus came to Salt Lake City.
No.
No?
Where he came to New York.
He came to New York.
Well, actually, no. So,
You look like
you
my
look more
fucking...
Irish than
yeah,
Mormon.
You look like my Babu. You look like it kind of looks...
You called your grandma Babu, too?
No, but you know what I mean. Like, okay. But you look like a Russian, like, bride woman.
Wow.
Like, this is
now
very,
you're a ghost.
This is frightening.
Now I feel like I'm in the haunted mansion.
You're just so frightening. Why do they do this? Why do they do this to you?
You have to do this to become a god in the afterlife.
But it's just fabric.
Well, how much is this?
So this whole getup is probably like $100.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That could
probably
be
more now. It was $100 like 15 years ago.
But they don't give it to you for free.
No.
So you gotta buy it, and then you show up with
and
your own stuff.
And same with the underwear.
So you buy your own shit. You show up to your endowment, and then they put the shit you just bought on your body?
Basically, yeah. Or you're like, your mom would help you.
That's
and throughout the ceremony, you add more things. So, like, you start with just the white dress, and then as the ceremony progresses... Well, you start with the white dress and the underwear. And then as the ceremony progresses, you start adding these little pieces on.
Wow.
Do they all have different meanings, the pieces?
So this is supposed to be represent Adam and Eve.
Okay.
So
yes,
right about that.
Yeah, the leaf. It's like it's a green leaf apron.
Because you learn the story of Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden, which is in Missouri, which is also hilarious.
So the idea that anybody would not want to leave Missouri.
I've always wanted to go to Branson.
It's weird. If Branson's the Garden of Eden,
I literally
that
turned around and saw you, forgot that you were wearing that. I was like, I thought I saw a ghost.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's the nun.
Who is this? Yeah, I feel like, and then during certain parts of the ceremony, the women, they kind of changed it, but you have to veil your face. So when you chant in a circle, you do this, oh God, hear the words of my mouth. And you're doing the patriarchal grip with the person next to you. And you're doing all of this for the first time, and you're like, what the fuck is happening?
It is
you
silly.
Know, but I actually view it as more cynically, obviously, L. Ron Hubbard built it very specifically into Scientology. The Xenu reveal was so specifically done to get you all the way in. Like, he knew what to do. He knew to put you through.
Yeah.
He learned it from the OTO. He learned it from other religions. And that's kind of find that interesting is that what you see here is the OG version of it from stolen from Freemasonry of how to make somebody stay.
Yeah, and it's like you have to do so much work, just like Scientology. You have to do a lot of work to get to the point where they even allow you to have this information.
Yeah, so by the time you're walking a walk, the idea of it being silly or dumb must do it, like that's the last thing from you. Like what you were saying, it's very fright. It must feel very powerful, yeah, and frightening.
Because when you go through this, you're like, damn, Mitt Romney did this. My parents did this. All of my closest, like all my loved ones in this entire community did this, and they were okay with it. So if I'm not okay with it, it means I'm wrong.
Yes,
because everyone I love and trust has literally done this fucking chanting ceremony.
Which means, and you've just went and have done, let's just be nice here, an hour of total nonsense that doesn't do anything. And when you're in the middle of it, and like I've read that a lot of people talking about this, you're like, you're expected to be filled with God's love. And you're like, oh, this is all weird and sad and scary.
Did you see some people who like obviously felt like they were filled with God's love?
So by the time, like when you do the endowment, everyone else, which it could be like 30 to 40 people or more, like everyone else in the room has already done the ceremony.
Mm. Got it.
So when you go through, you, and then you get this like special piece of paper that they tape onto you or they pin onto you. So everybody in the room knows that it's your first time.
Oh.
And so it's almost like also the like social pressure of like everyone staring at me because they all know it's my first time.
And you're like,
See, the Catholics, we do it as a team. You know, there's like a bunch of, for Holy Communion, there's like, you know, 70 of us. So we get in the cookie for the first time.
Oh, I remember the, but that was also different. Like, you know, Catholic, it was like, I kind of felt like maybe the same, where it's like a social.
But also, pressure. Like, you probably saw lots of people do that for the first time and get communion for the first time before you did it yourself.
I saw it. Yeah. So we got like, to actually see
you kind
the
of
ceremony.
Visualize, like, okay, someday I'm going to do that. And I know what's, like, I know what I'm going to wear. I know what's going to, like, what's going to be said. This is like totally blindsided.
Yes,
like,
it's done for that purpose.
Yeah, I like when I was growing up as a Mormon teenager, I thought I'm basically like a non-denominational Christian, just with the Book of Mormon. Like everything else felt like I'm going to youth groups, I'm going to church on Sunday, I'm reading the Bible. Like you're almost like lulled into this sense of like I'm just like everybody else, and then.
You're like, what the fuck? Oh my God, it's the boiling water, the frog in the boiling water.
Yeah.
Now, to kind of wrap this up, like, was there any, because like, we do have current Mormon listeners still somehow.
Oh, okay.
Like, we still
I thought
have.
You were going to say there's more underwear.
Yeah.
We do have more underwear.
I've actually brought some of mine from home. Hell, we're all going to try it. This is the Satanist traditional Tommy John's that I get here. What's a thing? You're like, yeah, because we do still have some current Mormon listeners.
Okay.
What's a fucking.
Sorry about this.
Yeah, like, serious. But honestly, what is the. Is there anything you could say to be like, this is what helped me get out? This is what I did. Like,
I bet there are some people listening right now that are scared to get out. You know?
I find that engaging with stuff like this is almost like the pinnacle of like right before you leave. Cause you're like, oh, I'm so nuanced. I can listen to it and I still keep my faith.
Yes.
But then it chips away at your like understanding of the religion and like how much. You know, I feel like. Most people, before they leave, they go through like a doubling down phase because they're like, I don't want to leave. I can't cope with that. I'd rather just go harder.
Yeah.
And then they fall off the cliff and are like, oh, I don't believe. But so maybe they're like that. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's like you always see like whenever like someone's about to break up with someone, they make lots of really nice, mushy Instagram posts.
The longer the caption is, the more in trouble the relationship is.
Exactly.
Love my babe. That's always a great relationship.
Yeah. It's like done.
Or they're very like social Mormons. Like because it's so costly socially to leave the church, I find there's a lot of, it's called PMO, physically in, mentally out. So who know, like, I don't know what types of emails you're getting like, from Mormons, but
you were talking about too, but like the lady Mormons that are like doing all of the Botox, all of the boob implants, all of the stuff where it's like hyper feminine. They are being extremely feminine.
Yeah,
and
the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And
even
a whole show about it.
Like how does the Mormon church square with that fucking shit?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like it's because the religion is like for men by men, and men are never going to be pissed about women trying to be hot. So,
and that is correct. Because it does seem like that. Because men get
no coffee, but you can get a boob job.
You can get a boob job. Yeah. And because Mormon men, I mean, I do say that. I was like, man, they have it fucking good. They just get a job. Like, if you stay in right, like, someone will hook you up with a job. Someone hooks you up with a wife. Somebody hooks up. For men, it must be hard to get men out.
Yeah, I think it very much is. I mean, I was talking to a friend recently, and they know someone who recently, they literally moved houses because they had left the church and then found it, like, he lost all of his, like, business contacts. So they moved to a different part of Utah and, like, pretended like they had been active in the other ward. And then they were, like, reintegrated so that he could get basically social contacts back.
That's how I said, if you don't hear me for a while, if you don't hear from me for a while, and all of a sudden I'm like, you somehow see me under a different name as a small town preacher, or I'm running a different church and doing stuff, just don't say anything.
Just imagine you're making a documentary of some sort.
Yeah. You're like, if you ever see me in that position, just understand I'm working on something. Okay? Because obviously I've lost everything.
Yeah.
And also, I'll ask you this question. I was just asking Natalie upstairs. Okay, this has got nothing to do with Mormonism. This is literally just a lady question. Here's my question. Okay.
Why'd you point at me?
Because you'll hear it. Okay. You get married at 20 years old, right? 21 years old.
Yeah.
You're married for like a year. You're a man. Lady dies. How long are you a widower for? Are you a widower even if you get married again?
I'm confused by the question.
It's okay. You're a young man, young wife.
Asked this to Natalie earlier?
Yeah.
Like, how long do you have to wait before?
But just like, are you always a widower from then on?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, are you?
If you have a wife that dies, you're always a widower.
Even if you get remarried?
Even if it was the first marriage, 6 months long, you barely were married, now you got a new wife, you've been with her for a decade.
If she dies, then you still love her, so you're a widower.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could self-describe as a widower, but if that was, like, the first thing out of your mouth when you meet people, it'd be a little weird.
Hey, I'm a widower. This is my new wife, though. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I lost the first one, kept this one. Yeah, I'm a widower. Yeah,
that's a fun sentence.
You're, like, trying to use it for, like, sympathy points?
Yeah. I was just saying to Natalie, I was like, I got widower's energy.
She was super upset. Yeah, you got to think.
I don't know if that is a lady. I don't think that's a lady question.
I'm just doing my best to listen.
A period question.
No.
Once married, you are no longer officially a widower.
Oh, really?
Look it up. Yeah.
Once you're married,
This is a real website.
That's actually from the newest study of the New Wives Administration. They say that you're no longer a widower.
Yeah, the new wives say, fuck that bitch.
If you were to marry a guy, all right, let's say he really loves, all right, you've been with your husband for a while, you got kids and all that kind of stuff, whatever.
The interview's over, by the way.
Yeah, it's done now. It's basically over. My question is that if you were to, we'll save this.
What do you mean? You're halfway through the nonsense.
I lost the edge.
I thought you were going to ask about polygamy, because if a Mormon man's first wife dies and then he gets remarried, then now he's a polygamist in heaven.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah,
does he want that,
he's still sealed to both. Well, it doesn't matter if he wants it.
Did you get married but when you were still in the church?
Yeah, we were married in the temple.
Really?
And you both got out?
Yeah.
Oh, are you still married to the same person?
Yes, yeah.
That's amazing.
I know,
good news. Actually very beautiful.
That's really beautiful. Honestly, it's really nice. Like, so you guys all, were your kids in too?
No, thankfully we didn't have kids till after we left.
Got it.
Which you'd think maybe we'd be like, fuck having kids, we're not going to do that. But, no. I still wanted to have kids after leaving.
No, well, especially now that you got all your fucking ducks in a row.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And how does he, now that he's out too, is he still kind of just like, whoa, like, it's how's he, his transition? What does he do for a living?
He's a cocaine salesman.
Oh. He does PR and marketing.
Interesting.
Yeah. We left together and we're raising our kids to be basically like atheists in Texas, which is like funny because my 7-year-old will come home and be like, I told everyone God isn't real. And then they started arguing with me.
Fuck yeah. That is the Lord's work.
Yes, it is.
Honestly, like, sorry, son.
The older people are going to have a real, I do think that it's that generation. I have a lot of hope for those kids. For your kids. I have a lot of hope for that generation.
There's no nuns anymore. Nuns are done.
Well, I have hope, but I'm also afraid because I have two boys and I'm worried about like the red pill the new conservative young men who are like bone smashing.
I think as long as your husband like hugs him every once in a while.
They'll definitely grow up with a strong father figure who is not like that.
As long as you got a father that can maybe show some form of affection, that might help the little boys.
Yeah, y'all are good parents. You don't got to worry about that shit.
Yeah, you already make great decisions, like being on the show.
Sure hope so.
Yeah. Being on this fantastic show.
Well, thank you for having me.
This has got to be one of the. This is. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Who are you apologizing? Her? The viewers?
Yeah, I'm apologizing to everyone, but I also feel
like... Did you see the symbols? Did you look?
Yeah, there's a V right here.
Yeah, oh, that's weird. The most important part. And then on the belly button, too.
Your belly button has a V? Oh, no, it's just a line.
Yeah, they all mean different things.
It's on Wendy.
What do these mean?
That's like, is that where the tracker chip goes?
No, that's your C-section.
Oh! Yeah.
So they're all the masonry, you know, like the compass and the ruler, they're the Masonic symbols.
Oh, okay.
See, this is the kind of stuff I want on my own clothes. I want all of them monogrammed.
But it needs to be a Z, of course.
Melissa? You're wonderful.
Thank you so much. Where do people find the book?
So it's on, I say, try to get them from your local bookstore when you can. But does Amazon help you? Obviously, you get it all. It's all good.
Yeah, Amazon. Yeah, it's just KDP. Published, it's self-published, so
great.
You might not find it in a local bookstore, honestly.
No, get it on Amazon. How to Get Out of the Mormon, like How to Leave the Mormon Church by Alyssa Grenfell. Check out her YouTube. It is endlessly fascinating. You are constantly bringing up really cool new information about the Mormon, like all of, like, everything that us, let's just say some of us are kind of obsessed with it, right? Not saying me and my wife.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, you are saying that.
But yes, so... You guys do great work, so thank you.
Yeah, yeah, and I have a TikTok and Instagram, and Mormon Stories is great too. So
yes, and he's getting sued. John Galen's getting sued.
Yeah, it's great. So insane. But, well, and I how mean, do after you all
avoid,
these years?
How do you avoid getting sued?
You know, I think it's probably coming, but knock on wood. I mean, I think they're just waiting, probably. Yeah. For...
That's how you know you made it.
Please me, I'll help you, and it's the best thing that could ever happen for your YouTube channel.
But the greatest, so I'm in Texas, whereas like John is in Utah, and the courts are stacked with Mormons.
Yes.
So I also think the reason they're suing John and not me is they know Texans, like evangelicals, don't
give a fuck.
They actually hate Mormons. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Is John still in?
John DeLynn is, I think, you know, no, he was excommunicated.
He's out, right? Yeah,
so
he's out.
He was in, he chose to stay in, but was still publicly critical as a as a member, and then they excommunicated him in like 2018.
Man, they really try.
Yeah,
they try to go like, well, we'll take a little bit of it, but don't you dare come from our copyrights, because we will sue the balls off of you, because we don't care, even though it's not real. Thank you so much, Alyssa.
This was wonderful.
This was awesome.
Thanks for having me.
So much.
Yeah. I can't wait to read the book.
Hail, sweet Satan.
Yeah. You know, and hail, sweet Satan again, just for the Mormon community.
It feels really good.
I think he prefers Lucifer, actually.
What?
Hail, Lucifer.
Hail Lucifer.
All right.
Live from your grave.
Wow. She wasn't too upset by us.
No, obviously. I honestly, as soon as I saw her, I'm like, oh, she's going to hate me.
No, but she did a good job. You did a good job, too, because you didn't yell.
No. Nope.
You didn't rip off your shirt.
I didn't eat a bunch of food.
No, you didn't cover yourself in all different sauces and stuff.
I didn't
start fucking
smoking ass weed.
I mean, we should have, though.
That would have been cool.
We got to get her on that. That's next.
Yeah.
Next, we get her fully into drugs.
Yeah, bong rips with Alyssa.
I feel like that's what it comes down to. We need to do some LSD. We need to do some, honestly. I'd even do cocaine with her just to do it.
You know, I've never done heroin.
This is the person to do
it. This is the person to do, because she seems responsible.
If I turn a Mormon person or ex-mo with heroin, I win.
Yeah. She looks like she always has Narcan on her, right?
Yeah. We do too. We stole it from bag.
Yeah. I do have Narcan in my backpack. So if you start to seize up in front of me, just be like, Eddie, get the Narcan.
Give me a shot. Give me a fucking shot. Give me a fucking shot, bro. I'm going to fucking die here, man. I'm fucking die, bro.
But this is coming out next week, so yes. I might be out of Narcan.
Yeah, you might have used it.
Because I'm going to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
And they are going to need it. All right? So go over to patreon.com/lastpodcast and left to listen to us ad-free. You can also see movie signs with Ed and I, our videos, over on the Patreon. It's fucking great.
Hell yeah.
And our movie opinions,
Solid.
Right on the money. Incredibly no one has correct. Better ones.
No, not a single person. If you think that your opinion is better about film, yeah. you are incorrect, sir.
This show is not a reason for Henry and I to write off our 4K DVD no! addiction.
How dare you say that? That is not
what we're doing.
Also, this weekend is the end of JK Ultra. We're going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Kane's Ballroom on July 17th. And then we're going to be in Oklahoma City on July 18th. And then, of course, if you can't make it out to either of those shows and you're so sad that you missed the JK Ultra tour, don't worry. Don't worry. LPOTL.kizwe.com. You can watch yes. us stream. No, it's not a PP channel.
No, not anymore.
It is us doing our show at you from the comfort of your home. And if you rent it from them, it is available for 2 weeks. So you don't have to catch it live. You can rent it and then check it out later. It's no big deal.
You also, if you do the VIP through Kizwe, you get to join us for our Q&A after the fact and you can answer questions. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I didn't realize we were doing that.
We are.
Nice. And also, if you're in Texas on Sunday, I'm going to be in Plano. I know Texas is big, but Plano wants you to come see me live at the Mic Drop. That's going to be
on the comedy club does.
The comedy club.
Who does. Knows about the city? I don't know if the city is always the most welcoming.
Yeah, maybe not. Probably not. But I'll be there on September 19th. You know that shit. And then I got a bunch of other shows coming up. I'm going to be in Chicago, San Francisco, D.C., all kinds of places. Go to eddietunes.com to go check out where I'm going to be next and come see me live on the road. And then Henry and I'm telling you, it's more than just Crime Wave at Sea over here.
Oh, you got to believe it's Crime Wave all over your face. Yeah. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/last to go and buy tickets. We still got a couple of tickets left. Honestly, very few left.
Yeah, no.
And go. You can put them on layaway. Come and join us on the high seas. We will kill a woman together.
Shh.
I'm sorry.
Shush, shush.
I didn't mean to. Just because that's what happens on cruises.
Yeah, it is. All right.
But never really on Royal Caribbean.
No, they only run over whales, apparently.
But that's just because whales are there in the way, dude. Whales gotta get out of the way, man.
Did you hear about that?
No, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, I want to get into it.
Right, it doesn't matter. Apparently, people on the cruise didn't even notice. That's how great the boats are for yeah. Royal Caribbean. They ran over a bunch of whales and didn't even know. People still are having a great time.
Yeah. And also come check us out at Midsummer Scream at the beginning of August out yes. here in Long Beach.
If you could.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be selling the album, doing a panel, doing some signings.
And lots of shit.
Just fucking hanging out, selling merch. You know the bullshit that happens at horror cons.
See my fucking ass over a Midsummer Scream.
Hell yeah, he's gonna spread his cheeks and let you see the hole.
You really don't want to.
But you can, though.
Yes, that will be available. Hail Satan.
Hail Alyssa Grenfell.
Good work.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.